We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the week for your fantasy drafts. So I wait till next week because you want to avoid any injury possible. But this week is a popular week, especially with people off. So we'll get you set for your draft, and joining me right now is Keith Irizarry, fantasy football analyst for the other pregame show on the CBS Sports Network. You can listen to him on NBC Sports Radio Monday through Friday from 3 to 7. Keith, how you doing?
What's going on, man? How you been?
I'm fantastic. When is the most popular week for drafts? Would it be this week or would it be next week so you can get right up until opening night in case there's any last-second injuries?
No, it tends to be like last night. So Sunday when all of your week three games are done, and then this week is where everyone's doing their money leagues. I mean, I had one last night. I got another one Tuesday, another one Thursday. Yeah, this is the week where my wife doesn't get to see me at night.
No, I understand. Where does and what does this Marquise Lee injury do as far as to who is going to eat up those attempts in Jacksonville? I mean, obviously the offense is based on Leonard Fournette. We understand that. But with Lee out, who benefits the most on that Jacksonville Jaguar team?
So I think it's easy to say Moncrief and Keelan Cole, but I'm like, if we want to talk about having a bromance on someone, I am like all in on D.D. Westbrook. Everyone I've been speaking to in Jacksonville when I have them on my shows says dude just doesn't ever drop footballs. We know he was good at Oklahoma. So I ended up drafting him last night. I'm all in on Didi. I think it could take a week or two. And again, I know a lot of people hate Blake Bortles, and I get it as an NFL QB. He's not great, and his numbers were down last year. But typically, he's a top 12 to 13 quarterback. So it's not like people would say, he's not trash.
No, I get that. I remember last year with Westbrook because he missed a big chunk of the season. Then he performed late in the year. Where do you draft a guy like that? What's too early? What's the sweet spot for when you pick up a guy like that?
With the injury last night, ADP might change this week a little bit. My guess is you still can get him in like round 11 or 12. People are still going to believe it's going to be Keelan Cole. I think that Keelan Cole is the guy that everyone's going to assume turns into the one. And I think that, you know, Moncrief's got a little bit of a pedigree. And because Didi wasn't anything special last year, he's almost a forgotten man. Like, he kind of reminds me a little of, like, Corey Davis in Tennessee.
Right.
Everyone just assumes he's a bust because he was bad for the first 13 weeks of the season. But if you look at Corey Davis's numbers, final two games of the regular season and in the postseason, he looked like a first-round real wide receiver.
I want to ask you about Corey Davis since you bring him up, because I think the hype was huge for him last year, and he was a massive disappointment. Do you get the sense that him and Mariota are on the same page? Because that's the one thing I've heard coming out of Tennessee, that they just don't look like they're on the same page. And that's a huge concern, considering they got to be on the same page for him to be productive.
So I actually have heard the exact same thing as you, but I'm going to err on the side of hamstring injury hampered Davis during most of last year. They never clicked. And I'm going to err on the side of Davis is supremely talented. Mariota needs a number one, not named Delanie Walker. And Davis is the best option there. I mean, Rishard Matthews is good, but I almost say he's vanilla. You know, you're getting 700 to 800 yards out of him. And then he's touchdown dependent. 2 years ago, he gets 9. Last year, it was either 4 or 5. And that's a major dip in your fantasy status if you're Rishard Matthews.
All right, let's go to the top of the wide receiver pool when you draft. Do you still put Antonio Brown over Odell Beckham, or are you excited enough about Beckham? He may get his new contract. Hopefully he's healthy this year. Dynamic offense. Would you pick Beckham over Brown at this point?
So I'm from New York. I know I'm on a New York station right now, but I got to stick with Antonio Brown as my top wide receiver. Just the consistency that he has there. Odell for me is either 2 or 3. It's Julio and Odell. And I think the sneaky one is DeAndre Hopkins, depending on how much you believe in Deshaun Watson.
I was just going to say, the thing about Brown that's amazing is you look at his numbers, this dude catches 100 balls every single season.
It's insane. It's and standing at what, 5'11"? Like, he's an average looking sized wide receiver. Like, I think he's listed at 6 foot, but he's not. Just no one can guard him. He's unstoppable, and that offense loves to throw. Could they change that offense a little bit if for some reason Le'Veon Bell really doesn't sign? But we all know he's going to sign the day after week four of the preseason is done.
Yeah, you're right about Hopkins, too, especially because assuming Watson's actually healthy and can stay healthy, he finally has a quarterback, a consistent guy throwing him the football, which we haven't seen over the last couple of years or even last year with the injuries.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. So 2 years ago on Tops, my partner on that show is Jeff Ratcliffe. When we talk about fantasy football, he was all in on DeAndre Hopkins, and we had ongoing debates, and ultimately I ended up being correct. He's great, Jeff. He's awesome. But I was correct. I kept saying you draft DeAndre Hopkins as a first-round guy, then that he's considered a failure in the season, and he finished anywhere between, if you're in a PPR league, whatever, between 30 and 34 as a wide receiver. He had nobody throwing on the ball.
Right.
Last year, he ends up as a top 15-ish wide receiver, still with no one throwing on the ball for, what, 10 out of the 16 games of the season? But if you look at that window of six, Hopkins and even Will Fuller, their numbers were, like, Hopkins is elite, and Will Fuller was knocking on the door of wide receiver two. It was crazy what they can do with Deshaun Watson.
Any concerns over the fact that the Falcon offense overall, not just Julio Jones, but Devontae Freeman too, overall they took a step back last year with the new OC. Do you any concern about Atlanta? We haven't seen these guys play a lot in the preseason as far as the performance you may expect from Julio Jones this year?
No, and I'll tell you this, Brian Finneran, I was talking to him about 2 weeks ago, and he was raving about what this team looks like in practice. I know he played for the team, so you know how it is. When guys play for the team back in the day, they tend to root for their own team. But he was talking about how Julio looks as good as he's ever looked. Matt Ryan is, like, the most unsung former MVP in this league. Calvin Ridley's footwork is great. And then you do have a two-headed monster of Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. So concern, no. I'm still good with Julio Jones as one of my first two or three or four wide receivers off the board. Freeman is still going to probably, in a 12-team league, is going to be at the turn. He's in that area, you know, early second round. And even Tevin Coleman, if you're talking handcuff, is a great handcuff in the sixth or the seventh round.
Talking to Keith Irizarry, Fantasy Football. One guy who took a huge step back last year was Mike Evans. I mean, my God, he got in the end zone a hell of a lot less. His receptions were down. Right now, how do you view Mike Evans, especially with the Winston factor for the first 4 weeks of the season?
He is one of my top receivers. I don't plan on drafting. Like, I don't have a list of I refuse to draft this guy.
Right.
If he falls to me at the right spot, I'm going to take him. But I'm more into a Davante Adams. I'm more into a Larry Fitzgerald or a Doug Baldwin. All those guys are in that same window. So if I'm there, I'd rather one of them. Yeah, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he loves to air the ball out. You're going to get him for 3 weeks. It's what the toughest schedule for a team in the last 10 years in the NFL that the Buccaneers will have. I think you're going to get a slow start for Evans. He's not getting the targets like he did 2 years ago, and he's not getting the touchdowns. He's still going to get you 1,100 yards, and he's still going to get you 6 or 8 touchdowns. So he's still a top wide receiver. I'm not in love with having him on my squad.
I give you one guy I love to have a bounce back here. Tell me your thoughts. Amari Cooper.
Oh, I'm all in, bro. All in on that. That is a perfect one. So John Gruden's offense, they love to focus on wide receivers. Jordy Nelson will probably get some touchdowns. I get that. But we just assume Amari Cooper fell off last year because he's not talented. No, he had a bad year. It was a down season, and he still put up, like, average to above average numbers. Lock him in. He's in for 1,100 yards. He's going to get you 6, 7, 8 touchdowns as well. I love Amari Cooper this year. I'm all in.
Are you concerned about target-wise for Juju Smith-Schuster just being on the other side of Antonio Brown? I mean, he had a very good year last year, but do you think he's being drafted too high right now?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you this. I pulled a trade yesterday and actually traded away Juju Smith-Schuster and got Joe Mixon for him. I think Juju's going to put up some numbers, and I think that he's a really talented wide receiver, but you're right. I don't – there's a lot of mouths to feed in Pittsburgh, and Juju is being drafted as, I think, the 24th or 25th wide receiver in most leagues, which means you're talking about – like anywhere from 39 to 43 in your drafts overall. It's I don't love him that early.
Yeah, that's a thing. And it's about targets. I mean, how often is he going to be targeted? You know?
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing on the other side of somebody as good as that, Antonio Brown.
Exactly. I mean, and if you know fantasy, and obviously you do, like you mentioned target, it's touches for running backs. It's not carries for running backs. That's why, like, I love Christian McCaffrey this year. Dude can catch 70 balls probably. They're trying to use him as a three-down back. It doesn't appear that C.J. Anderson is actually going to take away too many snaps from him. And even everyone loves showing the video, but you saw the block that McCaffrey had this weekend showing that he can be there for three downs.
One guy who's starting to get a lot of attention is the second-round pick of the Denver Broncos, Courtland Sutton. What do you think of him?
All he has to do is wait for one of the two receivers ahead of him to get hurt, which happens every year, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. I love him. He's so, so talented. Grading out as wide receivers coming out of college, he was probably the best graded wide receiver. He can do a little bit of everything. Courtland Sutton in a dynasty league is amazing. And in a really deep, like 14 or 16 team league, get him on your roster.
You know who's seen, and I guess every draft is different. So I say this with, at least I've noticed it. Tell me if it's out there. That Larry Fitzgerald is looked at every year as, well, he's old. He's not going to be as productive. And every year he catches 100 balls. Every single year he still seems so reliable. Is he slept on around the country as just taking him for granted and not being drafted as high as maybe he should considering the production?
Sure, and I think it's almost like NBA players like LeBron James, you don't want to vote him MVP because, I've seen it before. You look at Larry Fitzgerald and you're always looking for the new shiny toy, but sometimes you can just kind of look and say, I don't need the new shiny toy. I can take the older shiny toy that still has a shine and still is going to get me 95 to 105 catches. Like, let's be honest. Do you believe in Sam Bradford for a whole season?
No, it probably won't stay.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But hasn't Larry Fitzgerald gone through lots of QBs, and then no matter what, he still is the safety valve and still gets all the catches, and most of our fantasy leagues nowadays are PPR. So, yeah, Larry Fitzgerald 100% getting slept on.
How about Christian Kirk, who's also going to be on that team, the rookie wide receiver Arizona drafted, I think, in the second round, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, how about that Odell Beckham Jr. Comparison on Christian Kirk? And, of course, that makes you get excited. Here's my issue. I don't know how he fits into that offense. If Larry Fitzgerald is a slot receiver and Kirk is a slot receiver, then it's going to limit the amount of times that you can put Kirk on the field. He's talented. Another guy in a dynasty league, go after him, lock him up, because Larry Fitzgerald is not going to be there forever.
Who is the number one receiver in San Francisco? Is it Pierre Garçon? Is it Marquise Goodwin? Who do you look at?
So Garçon, if you're going safe, it's like simple. You know what you're getting out of a Garçon every single week. Marquise Goodwin, just if you look at what he was able to do with Jimmy Garoppolo in that offense, it was like click, light went on, and suddenly he was playing like a number one wide receiver. He scares me a little bit because he reminds me of the Deshaun Jackson type of guy where it's boom or bust. You're going to get 1 week of five catches, 130 yards and a touchdown, but then because of probably limited targets, then the next week you might get two catches for, 19 yards. So it's very boom or bust with Goodwin. I'll tell you this, on San Francisco, if you're looking for the sleeper, it is the tight end. It's George Kittle. His numbers at the end of last year, he was averaging 14 yards per catch in the last three games of the season. If you're not going to go after one of the top tight ends, wait. Get someone like Kittle or Trey Burton later in the draft.
We're talking to Keith Irizarry about fantasy football, focusing mostly on wide receivers right now. We know that Davante Adams is the number one in Green Bay. Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison. Is there a surprising Green Bay that Aaron Rodgers may fall in love with, in your opinion, if you can't get Davante Adams?
I mean, Randall Cobb is definitely a safety valve type of guy, and he's just about staying healthy. He's got to figure out how to stay on the field. But, and I know we're talking wide receivers, obviously Jimmy Graham could end up making people's teams elite. If you are going to spend money in an auction draft on a tight end, Graham could end up, think about a couple years back with Drew Brees, he ended up with 15, 16 touchdowns in a season. he is that post-up guy in the end zone. There's no reason to believe if he's healthy, he can't get you 12 touchdowns. But Randall Cobb is definitely the other guy.
Yeah. How aggressive with Graham in a draft format? How early is too early?
Gronk, Kelsey, and then you start talking about Ertz and Graham, and if you believe that Delanie Walker can stay healthy for a full season, that's right where you're at. So for someone like Jimmy Graham, it really depends on what your strategy is. Let's say you go like crazy heavy with running backs and you know that wide receivers are going to be a little bit weak for your team, then yeah, maybe you go for Graham in like the third or the fourth round because you say, I want one of the tight ends that can be essentially a wide receiver for me.
Now, one last thing with Dallas. All right, what a mess of receivers they have. Dak Prescott's got to throw the football to somebody. Who ends up in your mind stepping up and getting the most targets from those Cowboy receiving crew that you have there?
So I'm on a kick where I really want to believe that Cole Beasley can be that guy. And I want to believe that Beasley can get the underneath targets. And again, at PPR, I'm being told that I'm wrong on that. Like, I want to be right about that, but everyone keeps telling me in Dallas that that's not going to be the guy. It's going to end up being Allen Hurns probably with the most targets. And the wild card there is Gallup.
Right.
If you're willing to take the risk on the rookie wide receiver, there is much more upside and potential in Gallup than any other wide receiver that's there. And if Dak and Gallup get a good, you know, chemistry going, he could end up being a steal for you.
Yeah, that's a guy to keep an eye on. Keith, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for popping on.
You're the man. Talk soon.
Thank you, sir. Keith Irizarry, fantasy football analyst for the other pregame show on the CBS Sports Network. You can catch him throughout the season Sundays at 8 a.m. on the CBS Sports Network. And he does a show Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 on NBC Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.